So I want to speak to you this morning on Matthew chapter 5, 43 through to 6 and verse 4. And it's Father's Day. Comes around once a year, and for some, that will bring memories of joy and celebration as they recall the way that their father has loved and encouraged them. For others, it will be difficult, a difficult day, either growing up with a father that was difficult and unreliable, or even not there at all. Well, whatever your experience of a dad, Jesus this morning invites you into the ultimate father's love. He invites you into a divine love, one that Jesus has experienced for all eternity past, and which you can enjoy for all eternity future. He invites you to experience that love for yourself, to absorb the glorious love that God pours upon every one of us. But more than that, he invites you this morning to be a bearer of that love towards others. Now, we often, don't we, speak of wishing that we lived in a world that was more loving, a world in which there was less division, less discrimination, less antagonization, less greed. So let me ask you this question before we even begin. Are you prepared to be a part of the solution to that, or will you continue to be a part of the problem? A father's love. Well, it's a radical love. We discover that in verses 43 and 43 to 45. It's a love that goes further and is more encompassing than any other affection. It is a great love. And it is coming to us today. It is a love which God displays to each and every one of us. And we know it's a radical love because we first discover in the passage that it's a love that is displayed to enemies. There is a basic understanding in our lives, isn't there, amongst all of us, that we should love those who are nearby, our neighbors. You know, picking a fight with your neighbor is not a good thing. If you've ever been in a boundary dispute or in a dispute with your next door neighbor, you know it can be a very uncomfortable situation. You know, as to who owns the fence or as to whether you've taken a foot or so of their land, and it can become quite difficult. The Bible speaks to that and how difficult and dangerous that can be. So we understand that neighborly love, neighborly care is something that we should be involved in. We understand that those around us, those who are immediate friends and family, are the ones that we should, well, spend time and love and effort and energy on. The law puts it in this way, Leviticus 19 and verse 18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So God says that it's a good thing to love your neighbor. It's needed for social cohesion. It's needed for neighborly care. It's needed in our world. But, you know, Jesus goes further, doesn't he? He demonstrates to us the Father's love that pushes the boundaries beyond just neighbors, as we would define that, to a neighborly love that God defines as being inclusive of our enemies. In answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells the story in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10. And he tells the story of the despised Samaritan. You see, that's the hero of the story that Jesus is about to tell is one who, as far as the Jews are concerned, is beyond the pale. He is someone who has turned from God's ways and who worships God in different ways, and so therefore shouldn't be gone near, shouldn't be touched, shouldn't be given any kind of quarter in your life. And yet Jesus tells a story and makes this man, a Samaritan, the hero. This man, this Samaritan, this one who is not to be trusted, displays a love for a Jew who has fallen in bad times. He has been beaten and laid aside. And here you discover that this Jew who is laid low and who is beaten and bruised and in a very bad way, you discover that fellow Jews come by and spiritual leaders in that day come wandering by this man and just leave him there lying in the gutter. They won't go near him and touch him. They're not interested in him. They walk on the other side. They do not display any neighborly love at all. And along comes the Samaritan, who has every reason to despise the man laying in the gutter, every reason to wish that that man should, to be overjoyed that that man has received the beating that he has. And yet, even though he's despised by the man laying on the floor, he stops and he helps him. He binds him. He binds his wounds, not binds him. He binds his wounds. He looks after him. He takes him and pays for his future care. And he even goes back after he's done the initial business of looking after him to make sure that he is looked after long term. He displays neighborly love to his enemies. And Jesus calls us to that. Jesus himself displays that same kind of love to each one of us, doesn't he? The Father sends forth the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus comes and he displays this same kind of love, love to enemies, as he goes to a cross. Jesus, who has never done anything wrong, who has never sinned, who has never disobeyed the Father in any way, who has never done anything that deserved him facing a capital punishment, as it were, of a death of a criminal, has never done any of those things, yet that's where he finds himself, and willingly so, because each and every one of us who have committed those capital sins, we have turned away from our God, we have rejected him in whatever way we want, we are king of our own lives when Jesus should be king. Jesus comes and he willingly dies in his place. He doesn't die for those who love him, he dies for those who hate him. Romans 5 puts it in these terms: "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of the Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" In other words, Jesus comes to us when we are completely anti him, completely against him, and does everything that is necessary that we might know peace with him. The Father displays his love to those who hate him by sending Jesus. Jesus, the one who will repair the way, repair the relationship, repair our relationship with God. And Jesus calls us to do exactly the same thing, to love as the Father loves. Let me ask you a question. Who is it that you love? Is it your nearest and dearest? Or does your love extend to your enemies? Who would you consider your enemy? Stop and think about that one for a moment. Maybe it's someone who has wronged you. You know, you've been going along in life and then somebody for some reason just decides that they don't like you. And they do all that they can to make your life a misery. Maybe they steal your money or your property. Or maybe it's a person who just continually looks down on you. Or the person who is always in your face about something. They're around everywhere, aren't they? You know, you think you're getting along just swimmingly, and then along comes this person and just seems to annoy you, no matter what they do. The person who holds, in this day and age, a different political view than you. Our country's being torn apart, isn't it? And largely just to do with attitudes of mind, just to do with what we think should be best for the country. Do you love your enemies? Do you do what Jesus does? However you want to think of it, however you want to cut it, then you are called this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know him as part of your life, you are called to love as the Father loves, to love your enemies. Why should we do that? Well, because it's a family trait. This radical love is a family trait. And there is a reality that if you do not possess this kind of love, if you cannot love your enemies, you refuse to love your enemies, then there is an understanding then that you are not part of the family. That's what Jesus warns in this text. That if we suggest that it is impossible for us to love our enemies, impossible to go that extra mile and seek to help those who have it in for us, then Jesus suggests that maybe we are not really part of the family. You see, it is a love that flows in family lines. It's hereditary. And those of you who are quick-witted amongst you might say, ah, well, but I'm adopted. Well, let me just check that one with you. Are you telling me you've not been born again? You see, if you've been born again, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have a new nature. You are a new creation. God has begun a new work in you, and it should be being worked out in your life. You should be like your dad, your heavenly Father, who loves you with a love that stretched to you, being loved even when you were opposed to him. Here is the truth. No one can love their enemy like the Father unless they are in the divine. Unless you are in God, unless God is in you, you cannot love like your heavenly Father. It is impossible. You cannot choose one morning to get up and simply to love your enemies. It doesn't work like that. There is nothing within us that would want to do that. Every day we would wrestle against that, even if we were to try it. We might even manage it for half an afternoon, you know. That person who we really don't like and everything they say annoys us, we might manage to be civil to them for an afternoon, but push it beyond an afternoon and it begins to get a little bit of a struggle, doesn't it? Because they don't change. They just carry on exactly the same. There's no return, as it were, for your love investment. The Apostle Paul writes this. He helps us to grasp how we come about this love. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul says, look, God is asking of you something which is supernatural, to love those that you do not like. In fact, that you loathe. And Paul says the only possible way that you are ever going to be able to do that is when you grasp how much God has loved you in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see that your sin deserved eternal punishment and that Jesus steps in and takes your eternal punishment for you. When you see that your sins deserve that God turn his face away from you and walk away and leave you to every disaster that then comes in and leave you alone in it, but you discover that God goes with you in the midst of every one of those situations and circumstances. And he doesn't just go with you, but he enables you to soar within the midst of those dark struggles. It's only through the indwelling power of God in your life that you can truly love. If you today find it impossible to be loving towards those who you find difficult or say that you cannot forgive them, then it is possible that you do not know Jesus and you are not in the family. At the very least, you are refusing to let God produce that love in you. I wonder whether you need this morning to ask that the Lord Jesus come and give you the strength to love those that you're struggling with at this moment in time, whoever that might be. We discover that that love is indiscriminate as well. Here is the point. God the Father shows his love to all, even to those that despise him. He has what we would call all his common grace that is lavished upon all. His gifts are given freely. It doesn't matter what we are. It doesn't matter how we live in this world. There are things that God gives to us time and time again that are simply his goodness towards us, regardless of what we are, whether we are good or bad. He treats, as far as general circumstances go, all the same. I wonder whether you discriminate in your love. Or do you treat all the same? Discrimination is everywhere. We look around, isn't it? It's always in the news, isn't it? There's discrimination on class, on race, on religion, on affluence, upon location, upon the different kinds of jobs that you do. But God calls you to be without discrimination in your love, to love everyone. Now that's radical, isn't it? That's a different kind of love. Now, does love mean that we never challenge sin, that we never challenge wrong in people's lives? No, it certainly doesn't. But it does mean that we are prepared to do for others what they are unwilling to do for us. The song that we sing says this, doesn't it? My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, oh, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Do you know that love as your own, a radical love? Are you prepared to live it in your life? We discover in verses 46 to 48 that it's a countercultural love. It's beyond returned love. In our culture, all around us, love exists, but it is love of a limited sort, if I can put it in those terms. Around us, the pattern is to love those who love you. We expect reciprocated love. We expect love to come back to us. If you do something good for someone, you expect that same love returned to you in some way. Incidentally, it's why so many marriages fail. If you feel that your partner does not love you, you withdraw your love from them, and marriage becomes loveless. That's why so many marriages break down, because one or other in the couple decides that they don't love the other, and therefore are unwilling to show their love, and then the other partner, feeling that lack of love, withdraws their love as well. And then communication disintegrates, and things go from bad to worse. Or it may be that you help someone out financially. You might not expect the money back. You might not be quite so crass to say that, you know, and you've got this till this date to pay it back on. Well, you might do, but you may not. But what often happens is, even when we give, and whether it's money or whatever it is, we expect some form of return to that, don't we? Some form of return of either affection or goods, as it were, or at the very least an acknowledgement of our generosity. That's the way that we love. Jesus says of those kinds of love, to those who are listening to him, particularly as he stands here, that this kind of love is not divine love. This kind of love is even that love which the lowest of humans can manage. It's easy to love those that love you. And Jesus uses the tax collector as the example, because these are considered of the Jews to be morally bankrupt. You know, you can't get lower than a tax collector. He is the scum of the earth. But yet he can love those who love him. I'm fairly sure that Jesus didn't sneer, but you can almost hear it in his tone, you know. What kind of love do you call that? Even they can manage that. That is easy love. It's love that gets an instant response. It has an instant reward. You are called to give love like the Father loves. that is often not returned, frequently spurned, and often feels futile. Can you love like that? Are you prepared to do what it takes? So it's beyond returned love, but we also discover it's beyond brotherly love. The other kind of love that we bestow on others is the love for those who are like us. We may not get on with all who are like us, but because they are like us, we treat them well. We display to them deference and acceptance. We find them easy to understand, easy to get on with, easy to mix with, easy to have an affinity with, without having to put any real work or effort in to the relationship. It is, in essence, why there is discrimination in our world today. It's a laziness, an ease of sticking with what you know, never having to go beyond the boundaries of your comfort. And you know, we're all guilty of it, aren't we? Before you suck in your breath and suggest that that's not you, how many of your friends and those that you have time for are just like you? Whether you make mostly friends or in your social class, your skin color, your cultural background, your faith, or whatever else defines you, Jesus calls you to go further, to go beyond your comfort zone, and to display love to those who are different from you, those that require work on your part to find out about, to understand, to put in an effort to be nice to. Now, you know what circles you walk in. I could hazard a guess, and looking around the room, I could suggest that largely we're much of a similar pattern, aren't we? But does your love go further than that? Are you prepared to love like God loves? You see, to be like that, to love just those who are like you, Jesus says is to be like those who know nothing about God, like the pagans. You see, even they love those that look like them, that do like them. You're actually called to be countercultural in the sense that your love should be a complete love. Comes in Matthew 5 and 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. As followers of Christ, as members of his family and sons of the Father, we are called to a greater love, a more mature love, if I can put it in those terms, or a complete love, or a perfect love, like our Father displays. His love operates on multiple levels. A general love for all, regardless of who they are and how they respond to him. A generous love that seeks out all who will be his friend, regardless of how different from him they are, and regardless of the work it takes to befriend them. In fact, he's willing, isn't he, to go to the cross. And that's the third kind of love, a sacrificial love that will do all that it takes to bring them not just into his friendship circle, but into his family. Is that your kind of love? We all have friends, don't we? Some of them range from being associates to actually being friends. But you know, there's a blurred line, isn't there, when you get to one end of the friendship scale, when they simply just become your family. They walk in the door. They don't knock anymore. They simply call out and they expect to use your things almost like they use their own. I wonder how willing we are to draw people into our friendship circles in that way. God has loved you in that way. He's called you into the family. What is his is now yours. And that's mind-blowing when you consider who we're talking of. He calls you to a complete love. Do you have any evidence in your life of such love being developed? Maybe today is the day that you should repent of wrong attitudes and seek again the forgiveness and equipping of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live like the Father calls us to live. Last thing I want you to see in the passage, in those first four verses really of chapter 6, is that this is a rewarding love. God loves to reward those who follow him. And there is most certainly a reward for loving like Christ. We need to get out of our heads, though, the notion of loving so that we might get our ego stroked. You see, a rewarding love seeks no stage. The point of becoming an actor is to be seen, isn't it? Nobody becomes an actor so that they can drift into the background. The point of becoming an actor is so that you can go on stage and impress everybody with how well you can act. To have people acknowledge the good work that you do, the tremendous performances that you've put on. But when it comes to love and your acts of charity, then you need to understand that there is only one critic that counts. And that is your heavenly Father. You see, every time you seek the world's approval, look how much I give, look what I do, you lose, so Jesus says, your Father's approval. So I'm not asking you today to go out and to look like good, loving people. I'm asking you to reflect the same love that your Father displays. It's a quiet love that gets on with the work that's in hand. It's a love that often goes unrewarded. It is a love that goes further than any of the banded around love we see around us. It's a love that enters into no drama. In truth, giving of love, money, time, etc. should never be about performance at all. If you're putting on a front to be adored by others, you have missed the very core of selfless love that God has called you to. The love that God calls you to is not about doing as much as it is about being. You are to be perfect, to be mature, to be complete, like your Father is. He calls you to love because you can do no other, because you are part of a loving family. A Christian who does not give, who does not love, is not true to who they are. It is a very denial of what God has done in your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, having been changed by God, having begun to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you should not need to put on a front. You simply should do, because Jesus has radically changed you at your core. You see, love that is like the Father's love. Trust this. Trust that God knows what you do. Be generous and pour out your heart of love into others, but in such a way that others do not know what you are even doing. They may find out, but you should seek even to avoid your own pride being puffed up, is what Jesus tells you. You should do your good deeds in a hidden way. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So I'm not asking you as we go out the door to tell me of all the different things that you do. It would be rather embarrassing if we stood on the door and you told me about the 50 different charities that you're involved in and the people that you're getting alongside. I don't need to know that. But God needs to see it in your life. He needs to see that you love in the same way that you are loved, with a Father's love that is beyond any love that you will experience anywhere else. On this Father's Day, remember the Father who loves you with an eternal love, and rejoice in him and seek to be like him. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this day we can look to you, an eternal Father who has bestowed such love upon his children that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Father, we pray, help us to grasp that, help us to grasp what that means, Lord, not just for us, but for the way that we love, that we might be like you and demonstrate the same love that you have given us to others. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.